Good morning and welcome to the fourth week of Advent. If you have cell phones or other electrical devices, would you please silence them as Donna plays our prelude? Thank you. Thank you, Donna. That's one of my favorites. We have some announcements. Well, let's see. To start with, there's some friendship papers in front of you. Pink, fill those out so that we may know who you are and introduce ourselves to you. And there are some announcements in the bulletin. You're welcome to read through those. A couple of them I might mention. Tomorrow night we will have a Christmas Eve service, candlelight, I believe, and you're all welcome to attend. Let's see, what else did I have here? Oh, yes, the church will be closed the 25th and the 26th. So don't plan on coming to do any kind of business at the church on those 2 days. If we would now stand and greet each other, and we will sing our opening carol, which is number 165. Verses 1, 2, and 4. Join me in the call to worship. Through this season of Advent, we have encountered hope, peace, and joy.
Today, belief and love are the
theme. Today, we hear the story of surprising commitment.
We learn of Mary and the God's wonderful love.
Today, we are challenged to believe in all that God can do. Please travel back in time with me as we pray. Dear Lord God, Mary and Joseph are approaching Bethlehem, guided by a great light. Lord, Mary is struggling, carrying the weight of your son. Joseph is also weakened, burdened with their belongings for travel. Lord, make their path straight and smooth. Lord, give them the strength to complete this journey. Lord, three wise men are also following this great star to find the birthplace of the coming Messiah. Lord, they have been deceived by King Herod. We pray that you may guide them by another path as they return to avoid King Herod and his evil plan. We pray as your son taught us to pray. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever.
You may be seated.
Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. As we stand on the cusp of Christmas Eve, we light four candles on the Advent wreath. The first candle symbolizes hope and reminds us of the promise of the prophets that a Messiah would come.
The second candle represents peace in a world of turmoil. Christ is born, the Prince of Peace, and he will seek his holy light in times of darkness.
The third candle indicates joy. Its lighter rose color echoes how our hearts lighten, along with the shepherds, when we hear the song of angels bringing good news of great joy for all people.
As we light the fourth Advent candle, we celebrate God's love.
We hear God's angel Gabriel speak to Mary, inviting her to bear God's son. We witness her faithful response, "Let it be with me according to your will." We recall times we have struggled, times when we have been afraid, but have found the courage to say yes to God. We know times when God has filled us and our world with blessing. Mary was young, strong, spiritual woman. Even though her life was not easy, she heard God's voice and said yes. Her song was a prayer that would uplift those who were downtrodden. Her word shattered the proud and called the world to change. She would bear within her the promised child, Jesus, the light of the world. This Advent, we respond to God's beckoning to us as well. Let us pray. Revealing God, visit us and fill us with your Spirit. Bring your good news to life within us. Give us courage to carry your light into the injustices and shadows of this world. Amen.
The hymn, When God is a Child, on page 132, tells the story of the four Sundays of Advent. We'll sing it together, all four verses. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Good morning, Blake. Are you ready for Christmas at your house? Do you have a tree up? Yeah, we do too. Hi, Willow. Are you all almost ready for Christmas? Yeah? I'm almost ready. I'm not completely ready, but I'm almost ready, and I'm very excited. It's one of my favorite times of year. On the table right behind us, there are some flowers that are called poinsettias. They're red and white. And there are some ceramic angels. Those angels are very special. They were a gift to this congregation from a family called the McCalls. Dick and Virginia McCall gave those angels to the church when one of their children died. They gave them in memory of someone that they loved very, very much. Christmas time is kind of a time of love, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's nice to be with people that we love. Our moms and our dads, maybe grandma or grandpa, maybe cousins, friends. It's fun to have presents together. Are you all coming to church tomorrow night? Do you know? You think so? Blake says, I think so. So mom, check with them on that. Probably not. You're going to be with family? Yeah, I know you all always have a big Christmas Eve dinner with family. Yeah. What about you, Willow? Do you know? Have Mom and Dad said you're coming to church tomorrow? You don't know. You'll have to ask. Well, you're invited. Okay. You know, tomorrow evening, there will probably be at least twice this many people here, maybe even more than that. There are a lot of people who have a hard time getting to church every Sunday morning, but Christmas Eve is such a special time. They make an extra effort to come on Christmas Eve. I'm so glad you all are here this morning so that we can celebrate Christ's birth together. Would you pray with me this morning? Mm-hmm. Dear God, you sent angels to be messengers to announce the birth of Jesus. May you use us also to share your message of love with all the world. When we say Merry Christmas to someone, may our hearts be filled with the love of Christ. In his precious name, all your children said, Amen. Thank you all for coming today. As our children head to Worship and Wonder, a Young Disciples class with Mrs. Grooms, I draw your attention to the list of prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. If you've not already made note of it, there is a list of those who donated poinsettias on the insert in the bulletin. Some are in memory of loved ones and some in honor of others. After Christmas Eve, you are welcome to take your poinsettia home with you. They will stay here in worship through January 6th if they're not taken home. After that time, any remaining poinsettias will be up for adoption. So if you want to plant a flower in your yard, even if you haven't ordered one this year, if we have any left after Epiphany, you're welcome to have one. Our card shower today is for Lois Cook. The prayer cards are in the pew rack in front of you. I encourage you to take out a postcard, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place it in the offering tray. Lois is the former business manager of our congregation and a longtime member here at First Christian. Because of age and health, it's difficult for her to get out. She has moved in the past year to Park Place and is enjoying being there. She's had guests from our church this past week. Carol Sage visited with her, and Dan and Janice Cooey were Christmas caroling and greeted Lois on our behalf. I'd encourage you to write a prayer card to her, just letting her know that we miss seeing her. There are several listed on our prayer concern list who are struggling with cancer and others who have health and other concerns. We continue to pray for Tricia Wood's dad, Scott Whitcomb, for Paul Hellick's grandson, Eli. Eli has resumed chemotherapy this week in Denver. One name not on the list, but we need to continue to pray for, is Oakley Gallup, still hospitalized and struggling. The missionaries we're lifting in prayer today are Andy Jepson and Lindley Knirk, serving in Sri Lanka. And as we pray for people around the world this morning, we're mindful of victims of a tsunami in Indonesia. Over 200 people are estimated to have been killed in that incident. Our prayer partners today are the members of Central Christian Church in Pocatello, Idaho, and their pastor, Roger Bray. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign and send greetings. Are there additions to this list today? Tricia. We are so glad that Trisha's dad is out of the hospital, even though he still has to stay in Denver for a while. We are glad that he is doing well. Steve. Prayers for Cheyenne McHale, who is 7 months pregnant at the Ronald McDonald House If there is an early delivery, we certainly pray for a healthy baby, and we pray for Cheyenne's health that she can come as close to full term as possible. Belle. Prayers for Buzz, who is bruised after a fall yesterday. Phil.
Update on Levi. Long story short, they have looked at his eyes. There's nothing they can do for his left eye. The retina, as far as they can tell, is gone. He couldn't sit still long enough for them to take a picture of his right eye, so we don't know about his right eye. So the doctor refers to a retina specialist in Denver, sometime probably in the next few weeks.
Prayers for Levi. We're glad that you had a safe trip to and from Denver, and we will continue praying as he sees an eye specialist. Prayers for John Barrett as he struggles going through chemo. Prayers of healing for all of those who are living with cancer, and prayers of courage for their families. We are honored to have you all with us today in worship. Michelle. Prayers for those who are out of work or whose companies are on break. Prayers for those who have no income at this time of year. Keith.
Well, we're expecting our first grandchild this week. So we're just praying they're going to induce her on the 27th. And we're just praying for a good delivery and everything goes well. And we're also praying for the Rouse family as we're passing around colds right now. So we pray for healing with that too. So.
Prayers for the Rouses and others who are dealing with colds, but a great joy that a grandbaby will be born in California?
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii on the 27th. So prayers for a healthy delivery. Larry.
Prayers for my mother-in-law, Anna Epperson, who fell this last Tuesday, was hospitalized, and while recovering from her fall recovery, they found blood clots in her lungs. Now she's being treated for, and hopefully she will be released today.
Prayers for Anna Epperson. A strange prayer of thanksgiving that she fell because that led to the discovery of blood clots in her lungs. Mm-hmm. Prayers for healing as she's released from the hospital, hopefully today. Any others this morning? Let us hold all of these people in prayer as we share in a time of silence. Holy God of mystery and surprises, we thank you for the ways in which you continue to do new things in the world and in our lives. In this holy season, Lord, our senses are heightened. We see twinkling Christmas lights and think of you. We hear children's laughter and ringing bells, and our hearts are lifted. We smell the aroma of precious food shared in love, and our appetites are whetted for you. O God, who chose to become incarnate, to become flesh in Jesus Christ, we thank you for every way in which we sense this Christmas season. And we pray that through the sights and sounds and smells and flavors of this season, we might spiritually awaken to you and be moved to share your love with others. O God of healing and hope. We lift to you prayers for all of those we have named today. We pray for Eli and Anna and Oakley and others who are hospitalized. Oh God, we pray for those who are in treatment for cancer. We thank you for Scott's progress and pray your blessing upon his family. Lord, we pray for John Barrett in the struggle of hearing a diagnosis that no one ever wants to receive. God, may the Barrett family know that you are present with them, even in this most trying of times. As John goes through chemo, may your healing surround him. May your blessing be upon him in body and in soul. Calm his family and bless them with your peace. Lord, we ask you to watch over Buzz as he recovers from a fall. And we rejoice at the gift of children in our lives. Lord, we pray for a grandchild soon to be born. We ask for the joy that the Rouses feel to be shared with others, and we pray for a healthy delivery. We pray for Cheyenne McHale as she is expecting. God, we give you thanks for the treatment of those who work with potential preemie deliveries. We pray for a healthy pregnancy for Cheyenne, that her baby may come as close to term as possible and be born well and strong and be cared for in every way. O God of all the world, we continue to give thanks for the gift of Levi, who has come from China to find his new home here in Casper with Phil and Becky. We thank you for their patience and courage as parents. And we pray for Levi specifically, Lord, that you would watch over his eyesight. We pray for good results when he sees a retinal specialist. We pray for any possible treatment that could help his vision to improve. And we thank you, God, for the energy and courage of this little boy, who sees wonder in the world around him, even when his eyes cannot focus clearly. Lord, for those who are having a hard time seeing their way through this season without employment or income, we ask for your gift of courage. We pray for those who are out of work and looking for work, for those who are unemployed long-term or even temporarily from company shutdowns. Oh God, we ask that those in need might be surrounded with generous communities to share in support, that in the season of abundance, none would go hungry, that those who need shelter would find it. We pray in this day for all who are like Mary and Joseph, who are looking for safe shelter and a place to rest. May our world open its heart to receive anew those you send among us. We pray for Andy and Lindley, the work they do in Sri Lanka, and for Pastor Roger Bray and all the members of Central Christian Church in Pocatello. Oh God, wherever your gospel is proclaimed, the Christmas story is shared with deep love. May Christ's message be revealed again to our world in need. It is in his holy name that we pray. Amen.
We believe all God's children are welcome at the communion table. Please join us as we take of the bread and the cup. The communion hymn is listed in your bulletin, but it's missing the page number and the verses. So we're singing number 142, and the verses are 1 and 4.
People, look east. The call is given. The time is near of the crowning of the year. Make your house fair as you are able. Trim the hearth and set the table. The table is set before us today with God's love, with the body of Christ. And the invitation is extended to all here who are looking to know the Lord's love in Jesus. We remember when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." Each time we drink this cup and eat this bread, we proclaim with great thanksgiving that our sins are forgiven in Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Wonderful Counselor, the song goes, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy, the baby that you kissed, that you delivered, will deliver us." Let us not get so wrapped up in the joy of the baby that we forget the man. God gave us a sacrifice and a promise. He took the nails that were destined for my hands. And he gave us the promise that we would be swaddled as the daughters and the sons of God and held in Jesus' arms with as much love and as much hope as Mary held her baby. Let us come to this table thankful and in reverence of the man who was the baby. Amen.
This is a season of giving. We may take this opportunity to return a portion of our many gifts to the Lord to advance His mission on planet Earth. Actually, there's two opportunities to give today. There's a special giving for Christmas offering, and there's little envelopes in your pew if you would like to do that, plus our standard offering of every week. The deacons will wait upon us. Lord God, bless these gifts we have provided for your mission. Amen.
I have a lot of stuff up here.
Sorry.
That's all right. Good morning. Our first scripture today is going to be from our hymnal. If you turn to number 131, we are going to have a responsive reading as well as a responsive singing of the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, which is actually Luke 1, 46 through 55. Donna will play the response first for us, then we will sing it, and then each time we see the bold letter R, we will sing it as well. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant.
From this day, all generations shall call me blessed.
The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord. His mercy is on those who fear God, from generation to generation.
My soul gives glory to my God. My heart pours out its praise.
The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit.
God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
Our second scripture text today comes from the First Testament, from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. We're hearing from the prophet Micah in chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a on page 865 of your pew Bible. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir and Donna, for your music today. Would you pray with me? Holy One, as the season of Advent leads us into Christmas, we pray that our hearts will truly be filled with expectation of your arrival, and that our lives will reflect your love, given for each of us and for all the world. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The promise is given by Micah, "You, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel." It was a strange prophecy. You see, Bethlehem wasn't the center of an empire. It was a byway, a small village. Jerusalem was the capital for the Israelites. In the times of the prophet Micah, about 700 years before the birth of Christ, Israel knew a great challenge. The Assyrians had invaded. Israel was divided into two kingdoms, south and north. In the northern kingdom, Samaria was the capital. It had been overrun by the Assyrian army. In the context of violence and despair, Micah comes to speak great hope. But what a strange promise he gives. Imagine if you were living under military occupation. If you were surrounded by a mighty army, if a strong wall had been built up to defend you from invaders, and then you were invaded and the wall crumbled. In order to overcome those who overthrew you, no doubt you would want strength and victory, military might. Instead, Micah promises a shepherd. A leader, yes, a ruler, but one who is humble. Not a great mighty king, not an army general, not a battling multitude, but a shepherd. A shepherd who will lead his flock. This is God's promise to people in a time of need. The season of Advent trains us, perhaps with spiritual irony, to expect the unexpected. Throughout history, God has chosen to work in surprising ways. You remember King David? Oh, we think of him as the great and mighty one, but growing up, he was just a little shepherd boy, the shortest of his brothers, and not the most handsome or strongest, yet he's the one who battled Goliath. He is the one who God called to ascend to the throne. And it is from the line of David that the king would come, the shepherd king, Jesus. God chooses time and time again to do things in surprising ways. It would make more sense for a king to be born in a palace than in a stable or a borrowed room or a cave behind a crowded inn. It would make more sense for one who is to be a king to be hailed as a prince and laid in a golden cradle instead of a feed trough borrowed from some hungry animals on a cold night. Time and time again, God works in unexpected ways, and Advent calls us to expect the unexpected. Yet we're not very good at that. As we prepare for Christmas, no doubt we all have expectations of what that day should be like. For some, that means a tree decorated in your home, or a menu carefully planned for a family that will gather around a table for a great feast. Turkey, ham, I don't know, barbecued ribs, or maybe roast beast. No doubt, when you think of Christmas, you have some expectation that the food will be a little bit special. The atmosphere will be a little more festive. There will be joy, we think. And the world certainly reinforces that message. Christmas is coming. Be happy. Buy a lot. Be happy. Send more cards. Be happy. But what if you're not? What if the unexpected of Christmas for you is an empty place at the table? What if the unexpected event of Christmas for you is a diagnosis of a terminal illness, chemo to treat cancer? What if the unexpected event of Christmas is surprise, your boss says? No work for the next 2 weeks. Congratulations, you got Christmas off, but that means no paycheck. What if Christmas is not what you expect it to be? There is something holy, perhaps frustrating and disappointing and challenging, but there is something holy about those years when Christmas doesn't live up to our expectations. Because, my friends, if you are out of work right now, Christmas is for you. If you're living with cancer right now in your family, Christmas is for you. If you're feeling alone and missing someone you love, Christmas is for you. Because Christmas is not the wrappings and the bows, the twinkling lights and the jingle bells, the shopping and the carols. Christmas is Christ. And my friends, if you are lonely, if you are grieving, if you are afraid, if you are sick or hurting or looking for work, Christ is for you. The power of the Magnificat, that beautiful song that Mary sang to us, comes in the form of dramatic reversals. Mary's song tells us that the lowly shall be lifted up. The hungry will be filled with good things. Christ comes for those who need him most. God continues to do what is unexpected. The prophets tell us that the Messiah will be born of the house and line of David. But even so, Jesus is going to be born of Mary? Really? To us, she is a spiritual role model, but to her neighbors, she was just the girl down the street, betrothed to an old carpenter. Nice enough, I suppose, but no one really knew her. What's so special about Mary? And that is the crux of the story. What's so special about any of us? Rich or poor, young or old, all of us are just people. But we are people made in the image of God, who is so filled with love for all the world that God decides Christ is for you. Christ is for a world filled with imperfect people who are sinners in need of salvation. That's the heart of Christmas. So Micah tries to give us an inkling of what to expect, but do we get it? Micah says Jesus won't be born in Jerusalem, in the capital, or in a palace, in a place of power. Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And even though the prophet is clear, 700 or so years later, when the Magi come looking for the king of the Jews, they show up in Jerusalem. They go to the palace of King Herod. They ask for advice. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? The king doesn't even know. He has to consult his wise scholars. And where do they turn but of all places to Micah? To read of you, Bethlehem, who are one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel. Perhaps those wise counselors to King Herod stopped reading too soon. Perhaps if they had gone ahead and explained to Herod, this king is going to be a shepherd, maybe Herod wouldn't have been so scared and worried and threatening. But the unexpected always happens when God is in charge. And so even the reception that that little baby would have is one of great unexpected heartache. The king, the ruler of the land, the one in power, tries to put him to death. and his family has to flee under cover of darkness to Egypt just to keep the little Prince of Peace alive. In your life, if you have known what it is to be afraid, to have to run, to look for shelter, to knock on the door of a stranger, then Christmas is your story. If you know what it is like to stand with heartache and watch your son die, then Mary's story is your story. And Christmas is for you. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to step over the calendar into Christmas Eve and celebrate with joy and wonder the birth of Christ, the lectionary reminds us, through the prophet Micah and the singing just pregnant Mary, to expect the unexpected, to get ready to welcome a king, yes, but a shepherd, one who knows what it is like to be lowly and humble, lost or alone, afraid or unsure. Christ, our King, comes to be with us. Of all people, who would have thought it? God is just full of surprises. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is number 167, Go Tell It on the Mountain. If there's anyone this morning who is looking for a church home, we welcome you here at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If you've been struggling and you felt lost and alone, we pray that here you will receive the good news and know that Christ is for you. We invite you, if you're moved, to come forward and place your faith in Jesus as we stand and sing together, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Thank you.
It is the call for every Christian to go tell it on the mountain, on the city streets, in the valleys and the hills and the plains, to go tell it in how we live and in the words that we share with others, that Christ is born, and that is why we celebrate the season. Tomorrow evening, our Christmas Eve service is at 7 o'clock p.m., and I hope you'll come and bring your friends and family. Bring strangers off the street. You see anyone who's not busy tomorrow, invite them here to celebrate Jesus' birth. Following our closing prayer this morning, downstairs there's coffee and refreshments. There's some homemade bread for you to enjoy. Take time to visit with one another today and give thanks for the gift of this season. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Christ, we indeed prepare to celebrate your birth, and in doing so, we are humbly reminded to expect the unexpected, that even when Christmas doesn't look or feel like someone else says it should, Christ, you are born for us. May you be born anew in us, that we might carry your love and your light to all the world. In your name we pray. Amen.